Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, 80s Rock Stars Composing. I was kicking around an idea for a show with my friend and colleague Tom Keogh the other day about rock stars who turn to soundtrack composing, that is to say, not just, you know, contribute a song or two for a movie, but actually create the entire soundtrack for a picture. It's a phenomenon that has forced some musicians to really stretch and experiment, and for some people has become an entire career that basically replaced the whole rock star thing. Thought it was too big a subject not to narrow down, so I decided to limit it to a single decade. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Bob, you're thinking, you've said that the 1980s are your least favorite decade in film history, and yes, this is true, but it's a decade that gives us a lot of examples of rock stars making the jump to film composing, sometimes with really, really interesting results, plus a few wacky ones, too. So we're going to hear a little Batman music. We will listen to a couple of sprawling space epics from the 80s. Hear what happens when David Byrne went to China and Peter Gabriel found Jesus. And for the trailer at the end of our show, we will have a zany vocal performance that I will tell you really made my heart sink the first time I heard it. So we're going to begin with, this is the first soundtrack that came to my mind when I thought about this idea. It is an unusual, very memorable, I think, score for a first-timer. In the early 1980s, the director Francis Coppola, Godfather, Apocalypse Now, was trying to restart his career after some missteps, and so he had this mainstream hit with The Outsiders, very straightforward adaptation of a young adult novel. But for his follow-up, and he did another adaptation of a novel by the same author, S.E. Hinton, Coppola just couldn't help himself. He had to go out and make a teen art movie, which was Rumblefish. And so he wanted something different for the score, sought something offbeat, and he engaged Stuart Copeland, the drummer for The Police. Stuart Copeland actually founded that band. He's the guy who hired Sting. Anyway, here's a cue from that film. It's called Our Mother is Alive. And you will hear how inventive Copeland gets here. Not so much the frantic drumming or the wailing sax that I care about, but the track's sort of loping rhythm swinging back and forth as the chords march up and down. Here's music from Rumblefish.
Thank you.
A cue from Stuart Copeland's score for Rumblefish. That's an LP I went out and bought immediately after seeing the film in 1983. So impressed I was by the music. And we may hear a little bit more of that before we're done here today. But let's note that Copeland's first movie gig led to many other such jobs over the years, including that he did the scores for Oliver Stone's Wall Street and talk radio in the 1980s, as well as maintaining a busy concert hall career as composer and percussionist, and occasionally with his old band, too. The Police became a worldwide smash, of course, which was not the case for another band that started around the same time in the 70s in Southern California, in this case, the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, later just Oingo Boingo. Danny Elfman was the driving force behind this ensemble once he took over from his older brother, Richard. He actually went into filmmaking. He went off to create Forbidden Zone. I don't know if this rings a bell with anybody, but it's one of those midnight movies from the late 70s, early 80s that really have to be seen to be believed. And that movie also gave Danny Elfman his first shot as a film composer. Then Danny Elfman got lucky, one of those confluences of just the right people meeting each other at just the right moment, I guess. Tim Burton was about to make his feature directing debut. He'd made a couple of acclaimed short films before that, and it was with the wonderful whimsy of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That was 1986. Danny Elfman's campy tendencies and ability to channel classic Hollywood film scores made him the perfect candidate for the job, as you will hear. Here's an early cue from that film called Breakfast Machine. This is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Sort of Fellini-esque music there from Pee-wee's Big Adventure by Danny Elfman, a project that began the collaboration between the composer and the director Tim Burton that continues to this day. Speaking of which, when Burton became the somewhat surprising director of Batman in 1989, he tapped Elfman to come up with a superhero soundtrack, and the composer delivered with this main title theme, definitive theme, I think, that rivals some of John Williams' signature pieces. Thank you. That's the Batman theme from the 1989 version of Batman, composed by Danny Elfman. Now, if you remember that blockbuster, you may recall that it had two separate soundtrack albums, because there was another rock star turned composer who created an entire song score for the film. So, let's bring Prince on stage. He took the gig seriously, came up with a bunch of songs that would suit each of the main characters in the picture, including the one we'll hear now. Party Man, which seems to capture something wild about the film's Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
That's Party Man, composed and performed by Prince for the soundtrack of Tim Burton's Batman, the almost arbitrary use of which somehow suits Jack Nicholson's cartoony Joker, I think, and Burton's overall comic book feeling. Well, I'm Robert Horton, also known as Party Man, and this is the music and the movies. We are talking about rock stars who became soundtrack composers in the 1980s. Our next subject is Randy Newman, who came out of the singer-songwriter scene of the 1960s as a critically beloved maker of very, very sardonic albums, but who, as we've mentioned before on this show, was also part of a Hollywood film composing dynasty, includes, but not is not limited to, his Oscar-winning uncles, Alfred and Lionel Newman. Randy Newman got into film scoring, therefore, as though by birthright, and he provided a really flavorful period score for the 1981 film Ragtime. But for me, he really ascended to his rightful place with the music for The Natural in 1984, for which Newman created this big, soaring, classic Hollywood score. Gotta say, the movie truly sells out the ending of Bernard Malamud's classic novel, but it does explore baseball, corruption, and other forms of Americana. In this track, The Final Game, Newman whacks one way over the center field wall. That is music from Randy Newman's score for The Natural. With maybe a little bit of Aaron Copland here, a little Richard Rodgers there, but all steeped in American mythology. Randy Newman has spent most of his time in doing movie music in the last few decades, especially his work with Pixar and Disney. By the way, if you love movies, I urge you to find a montage film made in 1986 called Precious Images. It was an Oscar-winning short then, and it uses moments from hundreds of classic films, partly set to the music that we just heard. We're going to stay in that Americana mode for a moment with another rock figure with 60s roots, Ry Cooder, the gifted guitarist. He did some stuff with Randy Newman back in the 60s, actually, but got into film composing with someone who turned out to be a frequent collaborator, the director Walter Hill, with a lovely score for The Long Riders in 1980, this movie I really like. But we're going to listen to the title track from Ry Cooder's score to Paris, Texas, 1980 film by Wim Wenders, the German director, which brilliantly captures the lonesome sound of the American desert and its wanderers. Thank you. Music from Paris, Texas, composed by Ry Cooder. And we're going to travel just a little farther south now for a little-known movie from a madman director by the name of Alex Cox. He's the Englishman who previously made Repo Man and Sid and Nancy in the 1980s. Cox managed to cool off any career heat he'd developed by making this film Walker, released in 1987. It's a true story about an American played by Ed Harris, who in the course of various absurd misadventures in Latin America in the mid-19th century, managed to get himself declared president of Nicaragua for a brief reign. This actually happened. For the score of the film, Cox picked Joe Strummer, the great frontman of The Clash, to come up with the sound of this very sort of political quasi-Western. And Strummer created music that's a little more coherent than the movie itself, I have got to say. But here's a track that's somewhat different from the Latin-flavored music of most of the film. I can sort of hear a little bit of the early 80s Clash coming in. This is titled The Brooding Sound of Madness. That's music from the 1987 film Walker, composed by Joe Strummer, the former leader of The Clash. Where is my old Clash t-shirt, by the way? I wonder whatever happened to that. Strummer did a few more soundtracks before his untimely death at age 50. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We're talking about rock stars who worked as film composers in the 1980s. Well, Walker was a film that I think was probably intended as an allegory for American misadventures abroad during the 1980s. For another example of that, albeit far more benign in nature, let's consider Local Hero, absolutely lovely 1983 film by the Scottish filmmaker Bill Forsyth, in which American businessmen, with their eyes set on exploiting a remote seaside town in Scotland, discover some sort of magic afoot there. Forsyth enlisted the services of Mark Knopfler, the leader of Dire Straits, to compose the folk-tinged score. Here's a cue called Wild Theme from Local Hero. Music by Mark Knopfler from his score for Local Hero, a movie that if you don't already have it in your life, I hope you will soon rectify that. It's an enchanting movie. Might even compel you to visit the little town where they filmed it in Scotland and get a drink at the local pub and ponder the existence of a certain red telephone booth. Not that I did that myself, except once. We continue globetrotting now for one of the distinctive Japanese films of the decade, Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, directed by Nagisa Oshima in 1983, which starred David Bowie. But we're not talking about Bowie here. Actually, it's surprising. He had relatively little action going in film composing during his career. But we're going to talk about his co-star, Ryuichi Sakamoto, who was one of the founders of the electronic ensemble Yellow Magic Orchestra. If you're really into music in the late 70s and early 80s, you might remember that interesting ensemble. He composed the music for this film. This project was near the beginning of Sakamoto's solo work, including lots of composing for movies, and this cue, called Father Christmas, incorporates the main theme of the film. That is a cue from the soundtrack of Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, composed by Ryuichi Sakamoto, who also co-starred in the film, although his acting has been limited in the years since, but not his film composing. It's included work in American films like The Revenant, and he also won an Oscar for his part in composing the score for another 80s film that we will now turn to, The Last Emperor. Bernardo Bertolucci's film had an unusual music credit. The Oscars actually went to three different people: Sakamoto, the Chinese composer Kong Su, and David Byrne of the Talking Heads. Byrne, you know, is a kind of a Renaissance man who might have done more work if he hadn't been more work in the movies if he hadn't been into so many other things in his life, I guess. But he should get a lot of credit for composing and performing the music in two terrific concert films created decades apart. Stop Making Sense from 1983, maybe the greatest live concert movie ever made, and American Utopia from 2020. To give a sense of David Byrne as film soundtrack composer, here's the main title theme from The Last Emperor. Thank you. David Byrne's Oscar-winning music from The Last Emperor, Bernardo Bertolucci's epic film about the somewhat hapless soul who blundered into the end of the Chinese imperial dynasty. Well, the word last in the title leads us to another such construction, this time The Last Temptation of Christ, a long-in-the-making Martin Scorsese project from 1988, and an unusual speculation on the Passion play with Willem Dafoe in the title role. Scorsese wanted something different, and he engaged Peter Gabriel, then formerly of Genesis, and also at the height of his solo success in the mid-80s. Gabriel's music for the movie, which he expanded into a double album, sort of has some Middle Eastern influences, but it has some, frankly, experimental work as well, including this distinctive cue. It's titled Gethsemane. That piece is by Peter Gabriel, part of the double album of music he developed for Martin Scorsese's film The Last Temptation of Christ, which you might remember caused some controversy and calls for boycotts about, supposed blasphemy, generally coming, as they always do, from people who had not seen the film. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, indulging my last temptations here, and we're surveying rock stars who created film soundtracks in the 1980s. We're going to go to a completely different vibe for our next selection, thanks to Tangerine Dream, who once established as an electronic music combo, did a great deal of soundtrack composing over the years. They work in the 1980s, included Michael Mann's very slick neo-noir Thief, also the sci-fi doomsday film Miracle Mile, directed by a sometime Port Townsend resident by the name of Steve DeJarnett. I really love that film, but today we're going to opt for one of Tangerine Dream's most prominent 80s soundtracks. I think it's safe to say Risky Business. This is a piece called The Dream is Always the Same. It's fitting music to accompany our youthful hero Tom Cruise's fantasy. Thank you. It has to be Tangerine Dream there, with some music from Risky Business, 1983 film that helped turn Tom Cruise into a star, for sure. Now we're going to turn to one of the unlikeliest movie composing credits of the 1980s, I think, accompanied the film that was David Lynch's entry into mega-budget filmmaking, 1984 Dune. So here's this you know, super production adaptation of Frank Herbert's sci-fi epic, all-star cast, hot art house director at the helm, and the credits are going by at the beginning, and one of them reads, "Music by Toto." I think I had to rub my eyes at that one, for surely they could not mean the soft rock band Toto, the I Bless the Rains Down in Africa guys. But sure enough, they did. And no question, Toto is made up of some legit great session players, so actually there are some compelling numbers in the Dune soundtrack. Maybe you'll agree that this is one of them. This is the suitably ominous main title theme. Well, for a soundtrack credited to the band Toto, that's a not too bad, if slightly melodramatic, main title music for David Lynch's film Dune. That movie did not do well with critics or audiences, and not with Lynch either. He was unhappy with the experience and the final cut of the film. It was almost impossible to follow the story, but then I think you don't hire David Lynch in order to do something as mundane as follow a story. Okay, well, the trailer music indicates that we've arrived at our curio moment here. And we're going to stay in the realm of the space epic. In this case, the 1980 film Flash Gordon. Another big outer space thing meant to compete with Star Wars and a notable bomb. Soundtrack is credited to Queen, and indeed that band, riding high at the time, provided a bizarre selection of music. In some ways, it's perfectly appropriate to a movie so camp that you wonder whether anybody thought they were actually making something good. I remember going to see the film when it opened, and when the theme song that you are about to hear first came blasting through the speakers, I distinctly remember thinking, oh no.
Is no cause for alarm.
Flash! Ah! King of the impossible! He's for every one of us. Stand for every one of us.
He's slain with a mighty hand. He remembers the time of Flash.
General Gala, Flash Gordon approaching.
Rocket. Captain Ajax to bring back his body.
Flash!
Gordon's alive.
Flash! You saved every one of us.
Just a man with a man's courage. Nothing but a man you can never fail. No one but the pure in heart, the man with golden hair.
Flash, Flash, I love you.
Queen's theme song for Flash Gordon, a big scale bomb from 1980, which has its fans to be sure, although nothing has tempted me to revisit that movie. Well, that's our run through the spectacle of rock stars who took up the mantle of film composer in the 1980s. We didn't squeeze in everybody. If you're a diehard Lethal Weapon fan, you may be wondering where Eric Clapton is. All I can say is I'm okay with not having room for that one. Not all these landed, and a lot of the musicians went back to their day jobs, but I hope you found some of these efforts innovative. For our outro, we're going to listen to a little more of Stuart Copeland's music from Rumblefish. The cue you're hearing now is a compulsive little experiment called Brothers on Wheels. Copeland apparently went down to Tulsa, where the story is set, and recorded some found sound, including a prominent rhythmic car horn, and put it all in the mix. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.